Isn't God good? He is just incredible. At the whole service, I was just kind of giggling and laughing because he is just so good. He's so faithful. He is so true. Now, I'm going to start out with this. Back in March, I believe it was it Chad Gonzalez that was here? Okay. At the same time, the same camp group that does camp, they do a youth event. And of course it was the same weekend. Why am I? Oh, echo. But it was the same weekend and my brother was speaking at it, so I decided to go. And I was like torn because I didn't want to miss here, but I didn't want to miss that and all these things. But well, little did I know, I ended up ministering and preaching peace, talking about our shoes of peace, the gospel of peace that we put on our feet. And I was preaching about it, and you know, we need to walk in peace. So a few weeks ago, my life was turned upside down a little bit, just a little. I have people in my house in Minnesota that are buying it. Well, they haven't done that yet, and that was supposed to be done for a while ago. But anyway, well, they had problems, and they started flipping out on me, and even though they signed an agreement to buy the house as is, and I didn't have these problems. Well, immediately inside me, my stomach started churning. You know that feeling when something comes at you and starts to try to attack you? My stomach started churning. And immediately after that, I said, God, I've been preaching about your peace. I need to walk in your peace. I need to do what I've been talking about. I need it to be evident in my life. So every time my stomach started churning, I started speaking in tongues. And I said, God, this is not something I want to get ugly. They threatened me. Legal action, suing, you know that, the fun stuff that makes your stomach churn. I said, no, God, this is not going to be ugly, because they're your children. They claim to know you. I don't know them, but they claim to know you. They told me that. So they're your children, and I'm your child. I'm going to walk in peace, and I'm going to watch what you're going to do. And he didn't do it the way I thought he would do it, but he did it so good. And I just learned a lesson again. That's what we do, right? We learn a lesson. I'm going to be what he says I am. I'm going to walk in what he says I have because of who he is. So that comes to this, what I'm going to talk about. I was reading a book. Does anybody read a book now? I think I've read more books, listening to them, than I've read in, like, this way now, believe it or not. I love doing it in the car. I was reading a book. I love Christian fiction, Christian historical fiction. But the author said he was doing a thing about a woman that wasn't Jewish but meeting Jesus. So a different perspective, not the Jewish perspective, but outside of the Jewish perspective. And Jesus was talking to her, and he said, forgive equals releasing your right to be offended. And I hit pause, I hit back 10 seconds, and I hit play. Release your right to be offended. I was like, ooh, I get to do this. I get to do this. And I just started noodling on it. You know how if you study something, you could go a million different ways with Jesus. So today I'm going to try to keep it a little more concise. So I'm going to start with this, my first point. And I'm going to ask you to participate with me. So I want you to stand up. And I'm going to ask you two questions. And if your answer is yes, put your hand in the air. So the first question, this is a simple one. Have you ever been offended? Okay, look around, turn your body, look, look, look. Okay, everybody's hands in the air, right? Okay, if you've lived in your life, it's pretty easy to say you've been offended. All right, second question. Have you ever offended someone? Turn around and look, look, look. Look, look, look. Exactly. Okay, you can sit down. So my first point, everyone has offended someone. And everyone has given offense. Yep. Everybody's good with that one, right? Okay. Let's just look real quick at the Lord's Prayer. I love, Jesus is so fun. He just is. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. He starts out by establishing relationship. And we acknowledge it. And verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He establishes kingdom living. Kingdom living establishes our Father and kingdom living. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. How do we live kingdom? Because he's our daily bread. He provides for our soul and our spirit. Yeah. He provides the way. Then he goes to verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Relationship again. Kingdom relationship, but this time it's horizontally. In order to live kingdom and live a kingdom life, we have to acknowledge our Father and we have to forgive others. And he modeled it for us by forgiving us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So his two commandments, love God and love one another, is in his prayer. It's right there. But I just thought that was interesting. He didn't say in this prayer, he didn't say, love everybody. He said, forgive. And I woke up this morning and I was just like, oh, this, you know, yay. And he goes, I do. It's weird. My brain is funny. And immediately he dropped in my heart, you cannot forgive without a motive of love. Because if you try to forgive to get something, it just doesn't work. You go back to, man, that really bugged me. And if I can imagine most of you, because you've lived life, have been hurt deeply by someone. Deeply. And I can tell you, I have. Most of you here do not know my story, because I didn't grow up here. I've only lived here for 3.5 years. Bruce has so graciously allowed me to stay in his home. But there was a moment I had to decide, I'm going to forgive this person so that I can live. Yes. And I can only do that by seeing him how Jesus saw him. And that's with love. Isn't he good? He's just so fun. I thought of David right away. This is just a quick little aside. But in Psalm 25:11, he says, "For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my wrongdoing, for it is great." So if we can be real with us, then when we can be real with us and love who we are, we can be real with others and love them. But he's so fun because he's the man, he's after God's own heart. He says, "God, forgive me for my wrongdoing," is not just, it's great. So, second point. Unforgiveness hurts. And then I said, okay, so who is hurt by unforgiveness? Who is hurt by unforgiveness? There you go. Most of the hurt you bring, it's you. It's on you, and it's like, oh, I'm destroying myself. And sometimes the other person that hurt you doesn't even know they hurt you. So if you're waiting for an apology, by the way, I never got one, and I don't expect one. I don't. But you may never get one. And that's okay. But Kingdom Living says, they're my brother or sister in Christ, and I love them. People out there, Jesus loves them and wants to save them. It's how we see. So Ephesians 4:29-32. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. But if there is any good word, notice he said good word, not just any word, it's a good word. For edification, according to the need of the moment, say that, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, verse 31, all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. So if we decide to hang on to that crud, it sits here. And that just, I'm just like, oh. And then I'm like, okay, God, why? Why does it have to be removed? And the next verse, be kind. It's really hard to be kind when you don't like someone, when you're upset with them, when you're frustrated. He says, be kind, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as Christ in God also has forgiven you. And earlier in the chapter, he says, Paul says, don't give the devil the opportunity. And that totally brought me to one of the Wednesday night ones. Was that Giglio? I want to say, was it Louis Giglio? Don't give the devil a seat at your table. Don't give him opportunity to grow those things in you. Because he'll keep feeding it. Yeah. Right? And you know, I looked up, I was just like, I don't know, it was sometime yesterday. I'm like, I'm just gonna Google it, just for fun. See what unforgiveness does to your health. Because I wanted to see something, just to see what's out there. If someone were to Google it, see what it says. So I found a few things that was very interesting to me. One was the Johns Hopkins thing. Chronic anger puts you into a flight or fight mode, which results in numerous changes in heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. Those changes then increase the risk of depression, heart disease, and diabetes, among other conditions. I just thought that was interesting. Here's a worldly perspective on what unforgiveness can do. Here's another one, Mayo Clinic. If you are unforgiving, you might bring anger and bitterness into every relationship and new experience. While that sounds fun, become so wrapped up in the wrong that you can't enjoy the present. Become depressed or anxious. There's one more. There was a bunch of them. You could go on forever. There's another one. This is the Resilience Center. The negative consequences of not forgiving has been documented in studies that show that it can lead to emotional pain of anger, hurt, resentment, bitterness, and so on. And as a consequence, can create health issues, affect relationships, and stop us from experiencing the freedom forgiveness enables. Wow. The world can come up with that. It stops us from living a truly free kingdom life. That just makes me stop and look inside. Say, am I holding anything? Or can I look at you and say, I love you. I love you. And mean it from the whole depth of my heart. Hebrews 12:15. It not only affects you, it does affect others because of what we say or do. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That's the last thing we want as disciplers. Aubrey's gone, she's probably doing kids, but she talked about discipleship last week. It's the last thing we want. We want to bring people to Christ, not defile them, not push them away. So then, when I first heard it. When I first heard this, forgive equals release your right to be offended, I'm like, okay, God, who did this first? God the Father did it first. He was the first ever offended, and he was the first to give up his right to be offended. He provided a way. This is my third point. He provided a way. Genesis 3, 8 and 9, and then 21. Now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to the man and said to them, where are you? God didn't go running. He came to him. He came. And he pursued. And then if you skip down to verse 21, it says, and the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. He provided for them. He provided a way. He already had a plan of redemption. He already saw the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13. He already knew that Jesus would say, inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He, knowing he would be offended, knowing it. Now that's love. When you know someone's gonna come and just rip your heart out, and you say, I got a plan to provide a way. He is so cool. He just makes me smile. It's just incredible. Then, the plan in action. Jesus comes to this earth to give it and provide the way. Mark 14:36, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Could we possibly do this any other way? And then he says, not what I want. Not my will, but yours. Again, the love. And Luke 23:34, he's on the cross. He has been, his body, physical body, has been ripped to shreds. And they're mocking him. They are ridiculing him. They are beating him, whatever, spitting on him. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they do. He provided a way. He provided a way for us to offer forgiveness. My fourth point. Everyone's done it. And we establish that we're good with that. We know that everybody has. We're being real in our heart. And we know that unforgiveness hurts. And we know that he provided a way. So then my fourth point. How am I known? How am I known? Am I known by my love? Or am I known by my offenses? Now, this woman sitting here, she's my mama. I can tell you, there were seven of us kids. We did plenty to drive her nuts. But she was always known by her love. Always. Even to all of our friends. At one point, they all call her mom. They still do. We're in our 40s and 50s. I'm not yet. not quite. But they still call her mom. And I'm like, man, am I blessed. She is my mom. She can be their figurative mom, but she is my mom. She showed me what it looks like to walk in kingdom living, to walk in forgiveness, to make that choice, to walk in freedom of what it looks like. So, how am I known in my conversations with others? Am I known by my love? Or am I walking up to Sandy and saying, well, this person did this and this person, I can't believe they would. Which one's life? Hey, Sandy, how you doing? Bless you. How are you known? How are you known? Jesus, oh, okay. Jesus tells us, and I I did a search, known by my love. It's written a few times in the Bible. I think he's trying to get a point across. We need to hear things few times. But John says it the most, the beloved, John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples. if you have love for one another. People will know. Do they know that about you? Do they know that about me? I love this stuff. This to me is not a hard or a pound on you thing. I get to do this. I get to learn to walk in a love that is so beyond me that I get to see it affect others. It's fun. It's fun. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth, for a sincere love of the brothers and sisters. Sincere love of the brothers and sisters. Fervently love one another from the heart. Not just love, fervently love. Fervent love. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. We've already established that we're all going to goof up. It happens. It happens. You can have a bad day and lose yourself for a moment. But love covers. Exactly. Thank you, Jesus. I heard a song on the way in this morning. At the Cross by Chris Tomlin. And it says, all sin and shame lose their power. They are powerless at the place of forgiveness. I'm like, oh God. That means that it can have no power over me if I live in a place of forgiveness. I'm like, ooh. So it doesn't matter if someone sins against me. I'm not going to give it power. I'm not going to give the devil opportunity. I was like, ooh, he's so good. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife. But love covers all offenses. Division or unity? Which would you like in your life? Most marriages, I'm assuming you've learned after 50 years how to forgive each other, right? You know? Relationships, close relationships, friend relationships, father-daughter, father-son, mother-daughter, mother-son. You learn. And if we can be in a place of forgiveness, we are living in freedom, and it has all those things have no power over us. I was like, oh, that's so freeing. It's so freeing. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we are to love one another. Are we hearing it yet? 1 John 4:7-8, beloved, let's love one another. And I like this one because it ties it now. For love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So we do none of this without him. So that means we get to be in relationship with God. Yay! And it brings us freedom and love and the ability to do these things and affect people's lives. How incredible is he? how incredible is he? And then if you read the 1 Corinthians 13, if you don't know, it's the love chapter. Three times at the beginning, it says, if I have something and I don't have love, I have nothing. Or I am nothing. You can have a bunch of stuff, but if you don't have love, you got nothing. And then it tells us what love is. Patient, kind, doesn't boast, doesn't envy, and it goes on. But we get to be that because that's who he is, and that's who he is in me. And it's who he is in you. So, how does God see you? What does he see when he sees you? Jesus. I'm like, oh God, that's just so amazing. Oh, it's so amazing. Oh, and I'm like, then the next question came to my head. How do you see others? I was like, ooh, good one. How do I see you? Do I see Jesus? Is that what I'm seeing? Or am I going to pick at your flaws? Because we have them. We all admitted to that earlier. What am I seeing? Am I seeing Jesus? And then into my head pops the helmet of salvation. Helmet. Over this thing, we have the mind here. Salvation. I was like, okay, God, salvation. Salvation brings with it a kingdom perspective. Do we keep our helmet on? Am I protecting my mind with his perspective, with who he is, with being in relationship with him? Am I? And then this question really blew me away. God talks to me in questions. It's kind of funny. He said, Has it ever cost me more than it cost Jesus to forgive someone? And I would have to say no, not even close. Not even close. Like, I can forgive that person, even if it was a deep, deep hurt. Because Jesus got on that cross for me. And he went through a whole lot that I could never even begin to fathom. So I pose the question to you. Have you ever paid more than it cost what Jesus to release your right to be offended? Oh, he's fun. And I love this. I love this when he talks to me like this, because it's never painful. It's, thank you, God. I get a new perspective. I get to do this. On Wednesday night, we're listening to a series by Heidi and Roland Baker. And he was talking about his wife and the stuff they go through. And he goes, and my wife just sits there and goes, I get to do this. And they're in the middle of who knows what, wondering if they're going to live through it. And her perspective is, I get to do this. And I was like, that's so cool. Because we get to go through life and see things try to come at us, and we go, okay, God, what are you going to do this time? What are you going to do this time that I get to come alongside you and do it with you? What are you going to do? let's go. Rather than crawling on underneath the bench or the bed or whatever and cowering in fear. I prefer the let's go. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, God? So at the end of this, I get to do this. I get to walk in kingdom life. I get to walk in freedom. And I get to be known by my love. I get to do this, and I get to do it because Holy Spirit is in me, and He's going to do it with me. That's the only way I can do it. It's the only way. Apart from Him, I can't do it. Apart from Him, I can't walk in love. I can walk in like for some people at some times. Especially if Steve makes a really cool lemon dessert thing. That was really good, by the way. Sorry, I think I'm hungry. But I can't do this kingdom living. I can't do this kingdom relationship. I can't do loving others without Him. Not to where it affects them. Because I've been doing worship for probably 24, 25 years on the platform, and I see very often the anointing oil just pouring off my hands and going down the steps, going out the congregation and out to the outside. I can't be effective without Him. Without Him, I am nothing. And He showed the way. He provided the way. Now I get to provide the way with Him. Let's bow your heads. God, I thank You that we get to look in the mirror, and we get to see You. I thank You that in Your loving kindness, You provided a way. And I thank You that You've given us Your Spirit to give us the ability to walk in Your grace, Your mercy, Your love to those around us. Even when we get off track, God, I thank You that You gently pull us back and show us one more time that love conquers all, that love covers all, and that we get to do it with You. I thank You for these people. I thank You for their heart for You. And I ask, God, that Your words be true to our hearts today and prick our hearts to where we need to join You in what You're doing. I thank You, Holy Spirit, for always being with us and holding our hand and guiding us. And I thank You, God, that because of who You are, we get to walk in kingdom living, in kingdom relationships, in kingdom forgiveness, and in complete and true freedom. Bless these people in Your precious name. Amen.